Spirit is that he is God. It's going past a month, I think, now. So, yeah, he's on some serious antibiotics and serious steroids, I guess, and really having a rough time of it. So be praying for him. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. We've been reading this and looking at this a bit. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. We've talked about how Jesus, it says he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. You know where he returned from? Anybody know when this happened? This was the beginning of his ministry. Yeah, he had just come out of the wilderness and had his 40 days of fasting where he was tempted by the devil. Where did he come out of from to go to the temptation in the wilderness? What's that? Yeah, he was just baptized by John and the Holy Spirit descended on him, and the Father looked at him and said, "This is my beloved Son, my Son in whom I am pleased," right? And then he did what he often did. He went into the synagogues to teach. It says news was spreading about him throughout the whole countryside, and he was teaching. What day was this that we're talking about? What day was this that we're talking about? Huh? The Sabbath? Yep. What day was that? Mm-hmm. Okay. What day was that? You know I'm messing with your head. Yeah, look, somebody's looking for a date, right? Jesus said what day it was. He said it was today. Today. There's some significance to that reference, that it was today. Imagine the scene. Jesus has been out teaching. Word is spreading around. He hadn't really done any miracles at this point yet. But he was teaching, and people were like, "Who is this guy?" I'm sure that people were still talking about the whole Christmas thing that had happened some 30 years earlier, about the stories, the wise men, the shepherds, about his cousin John, who was out in the wilderness now preaching to everybody, and people were all going out listening to John the Baptist. He was getting up in everybody's faces, and Jesus walks by, and what does John say, the one that everybody's talking about, John? John sees Jesus and says, "Look," what? "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Whoa. So there's a buzz about Jesus. And imagine the scene. Who wants to be my attendant for me today? My wife. You know what? Guess what happens to people who volunteer somebody else? Out of choice. That's how it works, isn't it? Isn't it? Oh, she'll be careful next time. So let's hold on to that.
Terry, where are you?
I'm going to have you go right up on the stage there. Just be careful walking around the lamb here. So Jesus is in the synagogue, and he had often taught in the synagogue. You're fine right there. And oftentimes the way they would do it is if when they read scripture, what did they do? They would stand. They would be standing when they read the word of God. But then oftentimes the rabbi would sit while he taught. Okay? And so you're the attendant, then they're like, "Oh, Jesus is here. We want him to teach us." So you can invite me up to teach. Yes, but I'm Jesus right now. That's all you got to do. So Jesus came up. Thank you. And you hand me the scroll. This is the scroll. I was supposed to set this up. I'm sorry. And you can just stand there for a second. Jesus stood up in front of everybody, and they're like, uh-oh, okay, Jesus is going to teach. And he says, he finds this verse and says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Thank you, Jesus.
Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Can you picture? Here's this teacher reading a prophetic verse about the coming Messiah that they'd all been waiting for, and he sits down and says, that's me. Thank you, attendant Joyce. Give her some love. Go ahead and volunteer somebody else again, I dare you. I mean, picture that. What a profound, you see why the word today was so important and so profound. Now, it talks about, you know, the good news to the poor. Was there still poor people to feed during that time? Yeah, he fed the 4,000, right? He fed the 5,000, right? There was still, what did Jesus say when he was anointed with oil? He said, what, the poor you'll always have with you, right? What about, were there still people in prison when he gave this proclamation that today this is fulfilled? Yeah, who would end up going to prison and lose his head there? John the Baptist, yeah. Were there still blind people? Yeah, he went and healed them. Not all of them, I think. Were there still people oppressed? Were the Jews still oppressed when he said, today this is fulfilled in your hearing? Rome hadn't gone anywhere, had it? They were still, Israel was still under the thumb of Rome, right? There were those that were expecting that Messiah would come and bring heaven on earth. Israel would now be the one, the top dog, and things would be good again. But they were disappointed, ultimately, because that's not the fulfillment that Jesus was coming to bring. If today we're expecting Jesus, if I asked Jesus to come into my life to take away all my problems, we are reminded of the words of Jesus, in this world you will have trials, right? Yeah, for when we're poor, you know what? Sometimes God feeds us. It's happened to me, it's happened to you, where God has provided a need. And other times, he has allowed us to depend on him in the midst of our need, hasn't he? When people are in prison, sometimes they're freed, as his disciples were after Jesus was ascended to be with the Father. There was a time when Peter got released from prison. An angel walked him right out of prison. Other times, Paul and Silas were sitting there in jail, and what were they doing? Singing praises to God right in the middle of their dark, damp, rat-infested jail, praising God. It was still fulfilled in those moments. What Jesus said was still true. How about the Christians that followed? Were they oppressed? How oppressed? Sometimes to the death. Sometimes to being burned alive, sometimes being fed to the lions, oppressed. Was it still fulfilled that day Yeah. Yeah. Scripture says, oh, that we could share in his sufferings so that we might what? Share in his glory. I don't know what that means. I'll be honest with you. How could I possibly share in the glory of the Savior of the universe? I'm just a nothing, nobody. But I can if I share in his suffering. So yeah, sometimes God sets us free from our oppressors. Sometimes he walks with us through our suffering. We all have a fight, a battle, a struggle, whether it be a problem or a person that we are wrestling with in life, whether it's now or from before, or you've got one on the way. It's part of life, right? We've all got burdens and heartaches that we struggle to overcome, unanswered questions, unresolved issues or relationships. And we all have need for something, someone bigger than us, bigger than our problem, right? Sin was what separated us from that someone. Jesus was the one that restored us to that someone. So I would ask, what's your struggle today? Is it a loved one that's drifted from God? They're not near to God, or they're living out poor choices or destructive choices. Today, it's still fulfilled. What day is it? It's today. Hey, very good. You guys are sharp. It is always today, isn't it? It's always today. That promise is always fulfilled in our hearing. Jesus is the answer. That's the truth we need to come away today with, a deep, profoundly deep, settled assurance, dependence that Jesus is the answer. It's not my nagging that person that's going to be the answer. It is not my arguing with that person that is going to be the answer to the one who's drifted. It is not my guilt trip that is going to be the answer. It is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He's the one we need to run to. He's the one that will be their Savior. He's the one that will be their wisdom, their helper. But the only way that that person may be able to receive that is if we run to Jesus. Sometimes we have to do that for people, don't we? Sometimes we have to be the intercessor and say, God, I need you to do the work in this person's life. I can't reach them. I'm realizing I never could reach them. I've needed you all along. Jesus is the answer. What's your struggle today? Are you being bullied by somebody stronger than you, bigger than you, at school, at work, at home? Bring your mourning to Jesus. Bring your fears to the fearless one, the one that has no fear. He's the one that is the solution. Sometimes we're waiting for something to happen, for it, whatever the it is, or whoever the person is, to stop it. And that's understandable. But I can't promise you that that's going to be the outcome every time. It wasn't for Christians in the past all the time, and it's not for them now. sometimes. It's still fulfilled. Jesus is still the answer. Jesus says to us in those times, what do we do for our enemies? Love them. Bless our enemies. Pray for our enemies. Wow. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their healing. Bullies, people that hurt other people because they can, they do that because they're hurting people. There's something wrong. Ask for the courage to either love them. Well, that's not an either. That's a ask for the courage to love them. Sometimes love means standing up to them. Did you know that? Sometimes you have to say, I'm not going to allow this to continue. What that's going to look like could be as many different things as there are situations that you could be in. So I can't go through all of them. But we can ask God, give me the courage to love them, whatever that looks like. And sometimes the courage is to say, stop, you can't do this anymore, whether it's to me or to somebody else, right? Ask God, I need you for the wisdom to know how to walk through this. It's still fulfilled in those situations. Jesus still is the answer. What's your struggle today? Is it an unresolved relationship or conflict with something or someone? And no matter what you've tried, you just haven't been able to fix this. It's still fulfilled today in your hearing. Jesus is still the answer. You may need to seek him to change hearts. That heart that needs to be changed, you may find ends up being your own or theirs, but most likely both, right? Do a miracle of transformation. He can do it. He's still in the business of miracles. He has not sat down and said, well, I'm only gonna sit and watch. I'm only gonna be in observation mode. I'm not going to intervene in the affairs of men anymore. That is not the God of the Bible. He is still a God of power, of miracles, of gifts and abilities, of the fruits of the Spirit. He's still God. And sometimes we need to say, God, I need you to do what only you can do. Do a work of grace in this situation. What's your struggle today? Are you worried or anxious about something? Are you struggling with depression or fear over the situation of your life, or you don't even know why, you just can't seem to get out of the hole that you're in life? Maybe you've tried books, counseling, medications. Maybe it's just keeping you from living life. It's still fulfilled today in your hearing. Cry out to him. Seek him. Rest in him. Beg him to come and walk alongside of you. He is the answer. He is the answer. I see too often the many, many other things we run to, or we just simply don't run to Jesus. Jesus, as he some often does, preaches to me before I preach to you. And I was reading in the next chapter, I'm in Luke 5 in my own quiet time. And Jesus pointed out something that I'm struggling with in this. So I read about how Jesus often withdrew and prayed, right? And I read the verse, and God was just convicting me of something that I have struggled with. I'm a doer. I'm a busy person. And when there's things to be done, I'm a busy person. You know, busy doesn't always get it done, does it? That whole Sabbath thing that the ladies are going to be studying and that we talked about last week. Well, I'm just going to read you what I wrote because I just, the Lord just said you just need to be transparent. So I said, this is my faith journal. So it's a little more beat up than the other ones, but I'm almost done, ready to start a new one. I said, Lord, you often withdrew to pray alone. Why do I think I can somehow do it my way instead of your way? It's foolish, it's hypocritical, and it's self-defeating, and I am robbing my church, my family, parentheses, family should have been first here, and I'm robbing you, parentheses, should have been absolutely first here. Anytime I put something before you, I rob you, and any number of people and things, and I rob myself. All because I choose to do something different from what I know to be true. Have you ever found yourself in that place? I know much prayer, much power. I do little prayer, little power. And I ended it with, how long will you keep robbing? Talk about God is really working on me and has been to make prayer a greater part of my ministry here than the other things that I do. Jesus is the answer for this church and for the ministry here. Not my busyness. Not all the things that I think I can and should be doing. It's Jesus. And it's the answer for whatever is on your mind as well and in your heart as well. Jesus is the answer. So this song, I kind of rearranged things on my worship team. And this song came to my mind, and I just want you, if you want to sing along with it, if you know it, you're welcome to. But wherever you are in this, the answer is cry out to Jesus. So just listen, and whatever your thing is, let him minister to you. Let it be a call for you to cry out to him.